Emerald City of Oz, Lost. It was a beautiful evening, and they all pulled their camp chairs in a circle in front of the tents and began to tell stories before they went to bed. Unexpectedly, a black and white zebra came out of the forest, and he trotted straight up to them and said politely, "Good evening." The zebra was a sleek little animal and had a slender head, a stubby mane, and a paintbrush tail. His neatly shaped white body was covered with regular bars of dark brown or black, and his hooves were as delicate as those of a deer. "Good evening, friend zebra," said Omby Amby, in reply to the creature's greetings. "Can we do anything for you?" "As a matter of fact, yes," answered the zebra. "I would like to ask you to settle a dispute that has been bugging me for a while. Is there more water or land in the world?" "Who are you disputing this with?" asked the wizard. "With a soft-shell crab," said the zebra. "He lives in a pool where I go to drink every day, and he is a know-it-all type of crab, I assure you. I have told him many times that the land is much greater in extent than the water, but he will not be convinced. Even this very evening, when I told him he was an insignificant creature who lived in a small pool, he asserted that the water was greater and more important than the land. So, seeing your camp, I decided to ask you to settle this dispute once and for all, so that I may not be further annoyed by this ignorant crab." When they had listened to this explanation, Dorothy inquired, "Where is this soft-shell crab?" "Not far away," replied the zebra. "If you will agree to settle this dispute between us, I will run and get him." "Run along and fetch him then," said Dorothy. She turned to the others and shrugged her shoulders. So the zebra pranced back into the forest and soon came trotting back with a soft-shell crab clinging to the stiff hair of the zebra's mane, where it held on by one claw. "Now then, Mr. Crab," said the zebra, "here are the people I told you about. They know more than you do, who lives in a pool, and more than I do, who lives in a forest. They are travelers of the world, and..." "There's more to the world than Oz," declared the crab in a stubborn voice. "That is true," said Dorothy. "I used to live in Kansas, and I've been to California and Australia. So has Uncle Henry." The shaggy man added, "I've been to Mexico and Spain and many other foreign countries." "And I," said the wizard, "have been to most of Europe and Asia." "So you see," continued the zebra, addressing the crab, "here are people of real consequence who know what they are talking about." "Then they know there's more water in the world than there is land," asserted the crab in an irritated voice. "They know you are wrong to make such an absurd statement, and they will probably think you are a lobster instead of a crab," retorted the zebra. At this taunt, the crab reached out its other claw and pinched the zebra's ear until he gave a cry of pain and began prancing up and down, trying to shake off the crab, who clung hard. "Stop pinching," cried the zebra. "You promised not to pinch if I would carry you here." "And you promised to treat me respectfully," said the crab, letting go of his ear. "Well, haven't I?" demanded the zebra. "Not when you call me a lobster," said the crab. "Ladies and gentlemen," continued the zebra, "please pardon my poor friend, because he is ignorant and does not understand. Also, the pinch of his claw is very painful. So please, tell him that the world contains more land than water, and when he has heard your judgment, I will carry him back to his pool, where I hope he will be more modest in the future." "But we cannot tell him that," said Dorothy gravely, "because it is not true." "What?" exclaimed the zebra in astonishment. "Do I hear you correctly?" "The soft-shell crab is correct," declared the wizard. "There is considerably more water than there is land on earth." "Impossible," protested the zebra. "I can run for days on land and find very little water." "Have you ever seen an ocean? Or a map of the earth?" asked Dorothy. "Never," admitted the zebra. "There is no such thing as an ocean in the Land of Oz." "Well, there are several oceans in the world," said Dorothy, "and people sail in ships on these oceans for weeks and weeks, and never see a bit of land at all." At this, the crab began laughing in queer chuckles that reminded Dorothy of the way Billina sometimes cackled. Now will you give up on this idea, Mr. Zebra? The zebra seemed humbled. I can't read maps or geography, and you are all very much more worldly than I am, so I will have to take this word as true, he said. You could take one of the wizard's smart pills, suggested Bellina. That would make you wise without studying. The crab began laughing again, which so provoked the zebra that he tried to shake the little creature off. This resulted in more ear-pinching, and finally Dorothy told them to stop all the arguing or go back to the forest. Thank you for your gracious attention and valuable worldly insight, said the zebra. I am forever at your service and long to learn more someday, so long as it is not from a lobster. That's it, shouted the crab, as loudly as his little voice would carry. You will drink from another pool now, I say, or I will pinch your nose when you least expect it. Then the zebra trotted back to the forest with the crab, still holding tight to his mane. They disappeared into the darkness of the forest trees. It was getting late and dark, so the weary travelers said good night to one another and went to bed. In the morning, Dorothy woke early, with just a little light to see by. She was awake, so got out of bed, dressed herself in her favorite red dress, and left the tent without her shoes. Aunt Em was still peacefully sleeping. Outside, she noticed Bellina busily pecking around eating bugs or seeds for breakfast. None of the men in the other tent seemed awake, and she could hear them snoring still. So she decided to take a walk in the woods and to discover a path or road that they could follow. She walked until she reached the opposite edge of the forest when the yellow hen came fluttering along and asked where she was going. I'm taking a walk and looking for a path to follow when we leave, said Dorothy. Then I'll go along if you don't mind, Bellina said, and then Toto ran up and joined them as well. Toto and the yellow hen had become good friends on this trip, although at first it did not get along very well. Bellina was suspicious of dogs, and Toto thought it was his duty to chase any bird on sight. But Dorothy sorted this out until they grew better acquainted and became friends. The day was growing lighter every minute and driving the shadows out of the forest. Dorothy found it very pleasant walking under the trees, barefooted and free. She went some distance in one direction, but not finding a path, turned around in a different direction. There was no path here either, although she advanced quite a way in the forest, winding here and there, among the trees, and peering through the bushes, trying to remember which way was the way back. I think we'd better go back, suggested the yellow hen. It is late morning now, and everybody will be up and eating breakfast. Yes, agreed Dorothy. Let's see. The camp must be over this way. She made a mistake about the direction they walked, because after they had gone far enough to have reached the camp, they were still in the thick of the woods. She stopped short and looked around, and Toto glanced up into her face with his bright little eyes and wagged his tail as if he knew something was wrong. Toto usually had a good nose to find his way back, but this morning he had spent his time prowling around the bushes and running here and there, not paying attention. Bellina also was not paying attention to where they were going. She was interested in picking bugs from the moss as they passed along. The yellow hen now turned one eye up toward the little girl and asked, Have you forgotten where the camp is, Dorothy? Yes, she admitted. Have you, Bellina? I didn't try to remember, returned Bellina. I had no idea you would get lost, Dorothy. It's the thing we don't expect that usually happens, observed the girl, thoughtfully. But it's no use standing here. Let's go in that direction, pointing a finger at random. Maybe that is the way out of the forest over there. So Dorothy ran up what seemed like a path in the forest. The trees opened up, and then suddenly it disappeared. The trees got closer together and became tangled with vines that made Dorothy trip. Dorothy fell and then looked up and realized she had no idea which way was back to camp. She was lost.